Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we have a lot of updates on TV shows and movies, a round of movie innuendo with the Lego Movie, reviews, and our topic this week, TV spinoffs we need. Let's get on with the show. Aaron Peterson, joining me today, I'm my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing today?
Wonderful. And Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
It is time to talk movies and television for the week.
Time to party.
Do you guys, don't be weird. Do you guys
weird.
Talk about movies and TV with your friends up until this point, or do you hold it all until we do this podcast? I'm curious.
I hold it all because, like, I got people constantly coming up to me now wanting to talk to movies and TV. And I'm just like, listen, if I got to talk to one more person about this, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Sounds about right. The Facebook group is a good place to chat about it. But other than that, people around me that I don't connect with in relation to the podcast don't really care about movies and TV. Like my coworkers, they'll bring up big movies or something that I know that they'll like, I'll tell them that they should watch, and then in a year they'll do that.
Do you guys ever pull the podcast card where they're like, hey, what'd you think of that recent movie that just came out? And you're like, "Go, yeah, I just talked about it like 2 weeks ago. Go check that out." You ever do that one?
Yeah. I pull that card all the time.
I don't, but I should.
It's fun.
What'd you think about that? You know, I do talk about this on a show, right?
Yeah, no,
that's why I'm asking you now. Don't make me do this again. I already expended all the energy I needed to expend on it before.
Especially if you know that they listen to the podcast, or they used to, and then they're like, hey, you talk about it? Yeah, I did. Apparently, you didn't care anymore.
But Joe. Thanks.
Why you got to throw names into it?
I don't know.
All right, let's move on. How about the Hobbs and Shaw trailer? So, Fast and Furious had a spinoff. It was one of the Super Bowl trailers. We're not going to go through all of them, because honestly, most of them.
There was only like three.
We've already seen, and Toy Story 4 didn't really show you anything.
There's four.
Hobbs and Shaw, we finally got our first look at this spinoff from Fast and Furious, and basically we have superheroes now. We have Idris Elba, who is a superhero. He's got a super-infused body. The only way you can justify how he can take on The Rock is the way I'm understanding it. What do you guys think about putting a little Marvel in your Fast and Furious?
Did they really put Marvel in Fast and Furious, or did they put Fast and Furious in Marvel? This is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup situation.
I'm pretty sure Fast and Furious was somewhat grounded. I mean, as grounded as you can get to like be 1 minute away from space, but then they interjected superheroes.
Let's back up to the peanut butter cup, because I don't think I understand what peanut butter cups have to do with Marvel and Hobbs and Shaw. Can you explain this peanut butter cup predicament to me?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought I already did. So like he said,
he did.
What he said was, how do I like a little bit of Marvel in my Fast and Furious? And I was like, oh, did that happen? Or did Fast and Furious get into my Marvel?
I heard that.
It's a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup situation. Because did the chocolate get in the peanut butter? Or did the peanut butter get in the chocolate? Who knows?
I like your accent.
Why are you speaking? I don't want to even guess what it is.
Can offend somebody?
I feel like whatever I guess is going to offend somebody. Why are you speaking in a puppet voice?
This is my I need to speak slowly for somebody voice.
This is like your Adam Sandler voice. I appreciate it.
Anyway,
I need to make sure every syllable is understood for the person I'm talking to.
What's a syllable?
What do you think, Rock Statham here going against Elba?
Elba
as basically Superman, I guess. Super
it's
Elba,
kind of badass. I'm not gonna lie.
Why would people say that? Why would you tell me something and then lie about it? And then tell me that you're not going to lie? Because then
I immediately
doubt everything you said. No, I'm not going to lie. Well, now I kind of think you were going to. Why were you going to before? I don't understand. I don't trust you anymore.
You know what? Stop. Leave my vocab alone.
Okay. So this trailer, can you talk about the trailer, please?
We can talk about the trailer.
Basically, it's Tango and Cash with superheroes. I mean, do you guys like that this is part of the world now? Because now Dom can go up against freaking Ant-Man, I think. I don't know what the rules are.
Ooh, that'd be so fun. Like Michael Pena, however you say his name.
Pena.
Pena. Him, if he goes against The Rock, That would be like if, or if they were teammates.
Well, he's not a superhero, so he would just die.
Well, no, but if he's friends with The Rock. Wouldn't,
because his superpower is telling stories. So he would actually tell the whole story of Fast and the Furious to Dom, and then his head would explode.
If he narrated the whole thing.
Dom doesn't understand words.
I am excited.
Can we talk
about
this trailer?
We are.
Third time. I feel like we haven't talked about the trailer.
We're talking about how excited the potential is with this movie. There's so many things that could happen in this universe.
We are 100% on board with the fact that we have superheroes in the Fast and Furious franchise.
We don't care.
Yeah, look, cars can fly now. I don't care what you say or how many times you say it. We had The Rock riding a torpedo down the friggin' lake, a frozen lake. I don't care how many times you say it. It's going to be okay.
All right. I got to tell you, the Super Bowl trailer is only a minute. Go watch the extended one, because when you see The Rock swinging at the elevator and mouthing F you to Jason Statham, that might be one of my favorite movie moments, and I haven't even seen the movie yet.
Is it going to be rated PG-13?
I don't care, but he still he did it in the trailer. He's going to do it in the movie.
Well, yeah. I just mean, are they going to fully extend the
I don't need to hear it. I saw it.
Is everybody okay right now?
You know what? Before we move on to other stuff, we have the 2019 Oscar contest is in full effect. If you want to participate and win possibly a Blu-ray, a digital copy, or a T-shirt, TheHollywoodOutsider.com, find the link, Oscar contest. There you go. That's all you got to do. Now, we've got some movie and TV news to talk about. I'm going to run through a bunch of stuff, and then we're going to move on pretty quickly. But there were some brief updates on a whole bunch of established properties, but there's new stuff we want to talk about, or kind of new stuff. So here you go. You guys ready?
Freddy.
Ready.
I'm gonna do all these at once. Party 5 is getting rebooted on Freeform. Escape from New York is getting a remake with Saw's Lee Winnell scripting. Travelers, Fuller House, and Legion both are coming in to end after their current or upcoming seasons. Walking Dead was renewed for season 10. We're all shocked as hell for that. Sex Education on Netflix got season 2. Yeah. Fargo will get a season 4 with Chris Rock as the head of a crime family. Should be interesting. Definitely won't be well acted, but it'll be funny. The CW renewed almost everything on the network. Stephen King's The Stand has been given the go to be a limited series on CBS, the network that gave us Under the Dome. Oh, yeah, and Timmy Wiseau is making another movie called Big Shark.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
There's only one thing that I have to say about this Big Shark thing is, what if he accidentally makes the greatest shark movie ever?
Oh, wouldn't that be hilarious? What if he makes an actually good movie? And everybody goes in there and they're so disappointed because it's not awful.
Like, I can actually see it. Like, he's actually thinking, look, it'll be great. We're going to do this crazy shark movie that everyone's going to laugh at. And I'm going to be loved for being so funny. And then people go to the theater and they're like, and he's like, why are they actually scared? This is weird.
Oh, hi, shark.
Oh, hi, shark.
Oh, boy. Okay, now on to new stuff. Ready? That was a lot of stuff. So if you didn't catch any of it, you're going to have to go back and listen to it all. Why The Last Man? That's why the letter Y, colon, The Last Man, has been greenlit the series based on the comic from Brian K. Vaughan and from the minds behind Blade Runner 2049, which doesn't really impress me, and Luke Cage. Why The Last Man tells the story of Yorick, a young man who wakes up one day to discover that every dude on the planet has mysteriously died, leaving him in a world entirely populated by women. This sounds like the best series I've ever heard of in my entire life right now, and it should be on HBO. Obviously, this creates some issues for Y, so he sets off to solve the mystery with his pet monkey, Ampersand.
Like the symbol?
Yes.
Yeah. And many people think this can rival Walking Dead in terms of popularity. I don't know anything about this, but the concept alone sounds like... Well, I've had this fantasy a few times. So what is different about what I can imagine a world populated strictly by women and me versus what I can expect, John, because you know the comic?
Well, I actually had to do some looking into this. And as far as like the popularity is concerned, I can only speak from my experience with looking at every time this has been brought up, because I think in the last 6 years, it's been brought up, or I've caught it being brought up at least every other month or something like that. They're going to do a Y Last Stand, and then people come roaring in with how great and wonderful it is. But I don't think the idea of being they do this very well in the comic. The idea of being the only man surrounded by women and all you got is a monkey on your side is not a good one.
Why isn't it? Do they all want to talk and tell you all the things you did wrong today? I mean, that is, is that and that's funny to me. Not to the other woman.
Did you say not to the other woman?
Well, yeah, John counts. You're
okay.
He's quite feminine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a compliment, John.
It is. It absolutely is. That's exactly how I meant it.
Which is mm-hmm. why Aaron is the only one who is not feminine
Shame
at
on
all.
Me. Write me a letter. Feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. I love
So before
feedback.
We get into Aaron's letter, Amanda, do you have any thoughts on this? Did you do any reading?
Side note, I kind of thought this was a typo. The Y. I was like, Aaron really does not know how to spell anymore. He's lost it. I've never heard of this before. So this whole, it could rival The Walking Dead. I don't really know about that, but it's possible if you say that there's, I trust you, Johnny, if you say that there's an audience hey. For it. What?
I said it.
Well, I'm giving Johnny credit.
Okay.
Because I think he also said it.
I don't think he said it.
Anyway.
My feelings are already hurt.
I trust you. I think if there's an audience for it, good for them. But I've never heard of it, and it sounds kind of weird, but the monkey is really what sold me. Like,
all that, and you're like, monkey.
Well, it just like it monkeys. Sounded pretty stupid, and then the monkey showed up, and I was like, he's got a pet monkey.
Let me ask you, why do you think it sounds stupid?
Well, it's just, I don't know if it's going to become a whole... Oh, I'm a guy, and now I have all of these women around, and who am I going to try to chase? Or if it's more of just how is he going to get through life? Like, I don't know what dynamic they're going to go for when they put it on the screen for us, or TV screen. So I don't know. I guess I just have to see more when there's more information that's come out about it.
Is it more violent then? Is it really just people trying to kill him? They want him wiped off? Is that what it is, John?
It's a FX series, by the way. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, like everyone wants a piece of him because he is the last man. How are you gonna push the population forward without that one chromosome?
That's why this doesn't sound like a bad gig. I don't understand his problem.
Why is he solving the mystery? Leave the mystery
alone.
This
is literally the most successful I'd be at dating in my lifetime. Why is this a problem? This seems like the best scenario ever. People fighting over you in the parking lot.
No.
That's my dream.
Really?
Why not? Women have these dreams, too.
Why can't you just have one person fighting for you?
Well, they'd be fighting themselves. That's weird.
They could fight off other people.
No, I don't want that. I want like a brawl. I want a gladiator match. I think that would be great.
Nobody's going to gladiator match over you.
Exactly. That's why we have fiction. So I can have this world. It'd be interesting to see where they go with Yorick. All right, well, the deal is finally done. The Batman, a new take on Bruce Wayne and Friends from director Matt Reeves, will hit theaters on June 25th, 2021. Ben Affleck will not, I repeat, not be Batman in this series of films. It was confirmed, but contrary to the internet, it has not been confirmed that Affleck would not appear as Batman before then. His contract still has Suicide Squad 2 in it, so it all depends on if James Gunn's going to utilize him, because James Gunn is shepherding the new Suicide Squad. Now that we have official news, because we said we weren't going to talk about this again until something official actually came out, now we have something. How do you feel about Ben Affleck retiring as Batman?
We
getting a new one.
We feel sad.
Why?
Well, okay. He's not my favorite Batman. Let me start with that. But I know that he's like number two for me. So, and I know he's like number one for a lot of people. He really grounded himself as a character, as Batman. And I think it's kind of ridiculous that we're going to create the same, we're going to have the same universe, the same world happening, and we're going to further this story, but we're just going to have a different Batman.
No, it's not going to further, they're basically pretending it isn't part of those movies.
But like everything else isn't restarting. All of the other DCs aren't restarting, which is what I think.
I would say they are. Everything except Wonder Woman. Well, I guess Wonder Woman and Aquaman are continuing, right?
But then you also had the Justice League. So, like, all
No,
of
that's dead. That's dead.
Oh.
For now.
For now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to stay dead.
It's not necessarily dead. Maybe it's on life support because we haven't had anything confirming its death or not.
True.
But I just think that if they're going to try to sweep in with new people, they should be waiting to kind of, I don't know if rebrand is the right word, but try to redo all of that with all of their movies.
As opposed to just Batman?
Yeah, just let this one sit for a little while, finish your other projects, put your time and effort into making those good, and then come back to this when the time is right. I don't think that this is necessary. Nobody asked for Affleck to leave. Nobody really needs a different Batman unless you're giving me Jake Gyllenhaal, because I've been advocating him as Batman for a long time now. I would take that movie, but that's not going to happen. So we're sad. Bye, Batfleck, in your package. How do you guys feel?
So let me unpack this for you.
Okay.
I'm not thrilled with this idea, but I'm trying to remind myself that one of the strengths that DC has always had going for it is its one-off stories. These stories that aren't necessarily part of the main structure of the DC universe, but they do have those characters, and they have no effect to going back and forth between the DC universe that they have going on and these one-off stories. That's just how it works. It's these what if, kind of like a what if idea. I think Marvel does what if comics. So that being said, I'm trying to remind myself that it's possible that this is one of those situations, and they're just leaning into what the comic strengths are and playing with that idea, which, okay, great. Give me a decent Batman that is young. That's fine. But I'm not done with Batfleck. I want more Batfleck. I want to see what they're going to do. I hope that if he is in Suicide Squad 2, that they do something where they use Batman as, quote unquote, the leader of the Suicide Squad, which is something that has happened from time to time. That would be a really good way to breed new life into the DC Universe concept. And it would be a great way to really push forward everyone's love and adoration for this DC universe, I think.
Yeah, I am not done with Affleck. I am really, really, I'm actually angry about this whole thing. It's made me irritated. I 100% am cool with the fact that they are not going to do a cinematic universe. Sick of hearing that phrase. I don't care if Marvel has figured out a great way to do it. DC hasn't. It's time that they own up to it and just do things their way. Make a whole bunch of great solo movies, then do a Justice League 2. Awesome. You did Aquaman. You're going to do Wonder Woman, 84 next year or 2 years, whenever. Yeah, next year. And then you've got
Shazam's coming out.
Shazam. Then go back and do it. And then after you do Justice League 2, do Green Lantern and do some other stuff. And then do a new Batman reboot. I don't need a Batman reboot yet. Batman has been done to death. I realize they make $1 billion. I think Amanda's right. Let the character rest. But yep. Affleck, if you're going to do Batman, he's never had the opportunity to have great material to where he can show everything he can do. But he's been as good as he could be with the material he had.
Oh, like one of my favorite points of him in Batman versus Superman, when he's going to go save Martha. And it's like, okay, we got to get Martha. I'll find her. No other Batman's done that in a movie. Let me tell you where she, no, I got it. Like, I, you don't need to tell me where she is. I'll figure it out. Like, no other Batman's done that, something that simple.
Yeah, he can detect. And I know that's what Matt Reeves is going to go for, that approach, like the detective, which is great. I mean, I think Dark Knight had a little bit of that. But overall, man, Affleck was so good, and I just want to see him have a proper Batman movie, or at least it's just really sad to me, because I feel so bad for Ben Affleck. He gets a lot of grief. He got so much grief when he was cast. He had nothing but grief the entire time he's been Batman. I totally understand why he drove him to the bottle again or whatever. And I totally understand why he wants out of it, because he's a successful artist outside of Batman, but everything in Batman has brought him grief and hell. I get it. But I would love to see him get great material and finally get a shot at redemption in some way.
Is it his choice?
I think partly. Partly because originally he was going to be in the Batman. He was going to direct it. He was going to write it. He was going to do a whole lot of things, but it just kind of fell by the wayside. And I feel the pressure.
Was around the same time that he was having his mental breakdown.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if it's because of his need for like sobriety and kind of like getting a distance from all of that.
Well, it's nothing but negative to him. Put yourself in his shoes. Everything has been a meme or a joke, or, you know, he can't do anything without getting some kind of ridicule. And even though his performance has never been a problem in my eyes and by many people's eyes.
I haven't heard anyone complain about his actual performance. They
go on the internet.
There's a lot of jokes about his interviews, which can be funny, but...
Well, it's not really, I don't think it's really ever his performances, but it's something as unfortunate as the Martha bit. It's the interview thing. It's, you know, those are the two things that stand out the most as far as what he was poked at. It is unfortunate, but I think we're only just now starting to realize how ridiculous the internet can be at times.
Anybody else already sick of the articles theorizing who's going to be the next Batman?
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially because of the options they're giving us. My God. I
got to give the actors in the universe credit because they're all like, oh, I'd play Batman in every interview they give just because they know they'll get a lot of traction with that, which is pretty cool. So we will see what happens. Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com, join our Facebook group, or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. We'll see who ends up being Batman or Batwoman or Batkid. I don't know. Maybe he's going to go real young. It's going to be like the Gotham kid.
Bat Smurf.
I'd watch it. I really would. All right, time for movie innuendo. That's where each of us pick two innocent lines from a movie. This time, it's the Lego movie, since the sequel's coming out. Why not take a kid's movie and ruin it for everyone? And deliver those innocent lines as sexual innuendo. Then we can vote at the end and see who did it best. I just want to point out, this movie had way more lines that sound dirty than I realized.
yeah, it was easy to find a few.
Yeah, usually you got to search through and kind of find some stuff, and I didn't have to look very far. I'm like, wow, that's naughty. I like it. Yeah. Okay. So if you've never listened and you get uncomfortable, that's the point of the game. Manda, you go first. You got two shots. Make them count.
All right. He's coming. Cover your butt.
You should have said it naughtier.
He's coming. Cover your butt.
I didn't mean right now.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'm not going to say it later. <That's> In like a regular conversation. He's coming. Cover your
butt. Okay, that's three. We got it. John, what do you got?
First law of the sea. Never place your rear end on a pirate's face.
Oh, that's gold.
Oh my gosh. My hands are stuck. My legs are stuck as well.
USOB.
That's not one.
That was one of mine.
I don't remember that.
All right, I guess I'm going to use a backup. If this relationship is going to work out between us, I need to feel free to party with a bunch of strangers whenever I feel like it. I will text you.
That's
that one got you more than cover your butt?
That's the way you said it. You said it too upbeat and like almost kid-like.
Oh.
Right. He's coming, cover your butt. Yeah.
And that's actually naughty. A genuinely good line, so wow. Yeah. All right. I hope there's still a good cop in me somewhere.
I don't even know where to take that.
There is, in your bum.
Okay. What just happened? And here, I guess to finish it off, I'm here to see your butt. Why are there so many butt words in a Lego movie? I don't understand. It's a kid's movie.
Butt is popular. Anal is a thing.
And everything is awesome.
Because kids think butt is funny.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, the more I see it, that's probably what it is. It's just like kids think butt is funny.
Kids think butt is funny.
Adults don't, John.
Yes, we do, in a different way.
No. All right, well, I would say Amanda won that one, personally. She had the best line.
Yeah, that second one she got was pretty good.
I liked Johnny's pirate.
I like Johnny as a pirate, too.
I like Johnny's, though.
Savvy? Arrgh.
Weirdo.
All right. Each week I talk about Patreon, but I don't quite explain what it does. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. And therefore, we join Patreon as they facilitate fans supporting their favorite podcasts. On the same token, I don't believe in just asking for handouts. So we do offer bonus content exclusively through Patreon. Depending on what tier you select, there's $1, $3, $5, $10, and even $20 if you really want some perks. And there's bonus content to go along with everything $3 or over. At $3, we have a monthly podcast called Bad Movie Night, where we discuss a movie that critics or others deem a bad movie, but we enjoy. We did Basketball last month. We're doing Gothica this month. And then at $5, you get Bad Movie Night. Plus, there's a bonus episode, an exclusive monthly bonus episode, where we discuss things we don't discuss on a regular show, and we often get more personal.
Like Brian showing up, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes Brian shows up. Sometimes Scott shows up. You never know what's going to happen on the Patreon bonus stuff. As you go up, there are more perks. You can even pick a topic or possibly guest for an episode topic. Now you understand what it is. So if you want to support the show, it's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Thank you.
And to even explain it even further, once you pick your tier and you sign up for the service, you actually have access to everything that we've done for as long as we've been on Patreon. So that's a whole lot of content. If you really like listening to us, we take things a little bit less serious, and we have a lot more fun with it. But you have access to all of it right there and then.
Yeah, more swear words.
Yeah, more swear words.
It's worth the $3, $5 investment, I'm telling you.
Well, which one? Three of the five?
Well, it depends on how many episodes you want.
I suppose.
Do you want one or do you want two?
Spoiler-free reviews. We got two that we're going to nail pretty quickly. I think Russian Doll is the first one. On Nadia's 36th birthday, she's struck by a car and killed, only to find herself alive and well back at her own birthday party earlier that night. When she dies again and her timeline resets, Nadia begins to question her own sanity. Then she encounters a young man stuck in his own loop. Together, they strive to unravel the mystery of why and how all this is happening. It stars Natasha Lyonne and Charlie Burnett and streams now on Netflix. This sounds like Groundhog Day and could get pretty exhausting over the course of 8 episodes. So does the premise remain entertaining throughout? Amanda, you watch this.
I think it does hold up really well with the stories, because it's not like, if you've watched a lot of movies that have tried to go with this plot device, it does get exhausting because they just do the same thing over and over and over again.
I get exhausted just watching a movie that's this. I can't imagine 8 episodes of this.
It's really, well, they're short. They're like 25 minutes long. They are really short. But her day doesn't always end at the same point. It starts back over at the same point. And sometimes there's an episode where you go through almost the whole thing and she doesn't even reset. So the time she is able to stay alive for a little bit longer of a period of time, which helps the story and helps it grow and build. And it's not as exhausting as you might imagine it to
be. Is it a happy birthday to you, the series?
I actually like it better.
Happy death day to you, the series?
I like it better. Because Happy Death Day, yeah, Happy Death Day was sort of, it was just the same exact thing over and over again. She, and the starting point, like I said, does start the same, but with this show, you're not going through the exact same cycle of events. She's able to step outside of her boundaries and go to a different place or have the time extend a little bit longer, and then she's able to do something a little bit different. So it's not always the same thing.
How was Natasha Lyonne as a lead? Because I've only seen her in supporting stuff, American Pie and American Pie.
Orange is the New Black. Did you watch that?
Yeah, like a season and a half, and then I just
she
went,
was Bye. She is great. This show, well, obviously she's one of the creators, was made for her. She is amazing for this role. The way that she has the snark nailed down, her delivery on lines, she's so funny, but she's not. I hate to say it like this, but it's not just like a chick show. So it's something that guys can get into and laugh at some of the jokes too, because she's not as I don't want to say the jokes are raunchy, because it's not like they're real raunchy, but they're more vulgar than you would expect. And she doesn't really hold back. Her character is who she is, and she accepts that. She's educated. She's smart. She knows what she's doing, and she's accepting who she is as a human being. And takes the ownership of that. But she's not. One thing I think people would be worried about is how it's all made from female writers. I've seen some stuff where people are hesitant on that online.
Why?
Because they're worried that it's going to be too chicky, like chick flick sort of thing.
I don't worry about things being too duty when it's all guy writers.
That's true. But that's this.
I said duty.
You wouldn't even. There's no differentiating. You wouldn't recognize that unless you were told it or you saw it in the credits. But it's really exceptionally done. Natasha is, like I said, perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
She literally, I can't tell if she's acting in a lot of the parts. Huh. It's so good.
Okay. Well, if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give this series?
$7.50.
Okay. So you recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing that was seen, and I didn't see either one of these things, Velvet Chainsaw. That's the one John wrote a review on the website. What did I say? Chainsaw? Velvet Buzzsaw. You know, the sequel is going to be Velvet Chainsaw. It's going to be a little bit different where they just...
Bruce Campbell starring in it.
That would be awesome, where he just goes to an art gallery and just... I would watch the hell out of it. All right, Velvet Buzzsaw.
All right, Johnny, you saw this. And
I did.
I unfortunately did as well. But after paintings by an unknown artist are discovered, a supernatural force enacts revenge on those who have allowed their greed to get in the way of art. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal. It's got Rene Russo. We've talked about this on the last episode with giving some introduction. But in your written review for our website, you said that this movie felt like it should have been released in theaters. Why is that?
Frankly, because it's beautiful to look at. When while you're watching it, it doesn't feel like something that would have been cut or filmed specifically for the small screen. It feels like something that you can fall into and get absorbed into, because the characters are acting their asses off. The shots are good enough, but primarily it's just so the way the characters are bringing you into this story. It just really easy to fall into.
How did you feel about Jake Gyllenhaal and Gilroy and Rene Russo getting back together for this property?
I was a little hesitant because Nightcrawler wasn't a movie for me that was something that like jumped up and down for being great.
What?
But yeah, I just thought it was okay. I didn't really enjoy it as much as most people around me apparently did.
Wrong.
But I really
do what he did for you during Russian Doll and just go no. that's subtle. I'm just going to throw in there no.
You see how much like how much less disruptive that is versus what wrong. Where was I?
We don't care.
All right. So you know, I really enjoyed what they gave me though. Gyllenhaal was just. And really, it's his movie, and what he does is phenomenal, and I really hate him all at the same time.
For being too good-looking, too talented, too everything?
Too perfect.
Yeah, like, who the hell creates a human being that could sit there and be like, hi, I'm actually handsome and smart and talented, and watch me be a character actor on top of that? When you have, like, the king of character actors, John Malkovich, standing 10 feet away from him, also being like, hi, I'm John Malkovich. Watch me do something so simple, but it's amazing. It's mind-blowing.
Okay, I gotta interject, because you said it. Malkovich is the king of character actors. Malkovich plays Malkovich in everything he plays, where Gyllenhaal, he really has been taking a ton of different kinds of performances.
This is definitely different.
I don't see how Malkovich. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. Like Malkovich has just been John Malkovich in everything, which is I'm kind of the bad guy, but I'm a fun guy to hang out with, right?
I want to give Malkovich something to go with. I mean, otherwise, why is he here?
It's a good point.
You do have Gyllenhaal, so it's like, okay, well, you know, he's just way too pretty to be like he's got too much going for him. Gotta give Malkovich something.
Gotta ugly this place up a little bit. Okay, so the film is about art, which is subjective, and that's kind of the idea here. But
and you have an art degree, John, so let's throw it out there. So, you know, you kind of side with these people a little bit.
But doesn't art apply to film? So as a critic, how do you critique a movie that is intended to showcase subjectivity?
Oh, shit. That was a good question.
That was a really good question. I would say the same way I would critique anything else. I would look at the merits of what is actually there and talk about those merits, whether and how those merits I feel were executed. So in this case, like the performances were amazing. The screenplay was just good. The production was a little bit better than good. Okay.
Did you feel captivated by this story?
You know, that's what I thought was surprising, because there was people around me watching it who kind of got lost and they didn't know what was really going on. But there were so many small little things that were going on that I was paying attention to that would come up later. So you had, you know, there's that Chekhov's gun kept on popping up here and there in different forms. It's Chekhov's phone call. It's Chekhov's conversations, this and that. They kept on showing up throughout the movie, and it tied everything together in such an interesting layered piece that I thought, okay, well, that makes all the sense. Meanwhile, somebody else is going, I don't even know what the point of that was. So
Okay.
But right. I was just drawn in by what the actors are really get a lot of the credit here, because they really did every bit of the heavy lifting to create something that you can fall into.
I mean, I just want to interject. You saw this as well, and I've got John's assessment now, but you seem to not like it at all. So why didn't you like it? I've already heard the reasons that work for the movie. Why didn't you like it?
Poorly paced, kind of boring. I mean, I get that there's a lot of laughter at the art community.
Satire.
Like it's kind of satire. Yeah. There's that good mockery there, but other than the characters, which, and I will agree with John, the characters were very different. They were these actors were working outside their typical element. Like Jake Gyllenhaal was not, normally I'm attracted to him. I was like, this is weird. I don't know how I feel about this, but he was great. I mean, they were all really great, but there was just the movie was just like, I don't give a shit at all. Like I really don't. And I was so excited to see this. And I was ready to take a nap like the first hour in.
Is it supernatural or not? I'm confused. I thought it was about a ghost murdering people or something. No? Or is it nobody wants to talk about what it's really about, right? It's one of those.
It kind of is about a ghost murdering people, but it's about the people and why they deserve. It's more about the people and why they deserve being murdered.
Yeah. There's more of the.
Okay.
Yeah. So, John, if the full price of admission were $10, which it's not because it's Netflix, what would you give it?
$6.50.
Mm.
Well, the rental fee is probably $10, unless you have 4K.
Mine's not. Mine's $7.99.
All right, student discounts.
I think mine's just the poor people discount.
All right, we got some new releases coming out on February 8th. First up, the Lego Movie 2.
Lego Movie 2, it's been 5 years since everything was awesome and the citizens are facing a huge new threat. Lego Duplo, invaders from outer space, wrecking everything faster than they can rebuild it. This is actually directed by Mike Mitchell. So it was written by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, but it's directed by Mike Mitchell. Everybody comes back, primarily Chris Pratt and Elizabeth Banks, and everyone's awesome at the same time. So it's good for them.
I will watch this one. I've been really bummed out with the Lego movies. I haven't liked any of them except the first Lego movie, but I love that one. So I will, you know, this is one that's right on my radar. But everything after that was not awesome. In fact, it was average or less.
What's the Batman one that you had me watch?
Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
Oh, I didn't know if there was like something more to it. Okay. That one wasn't bad.
God.
You had half the name right there.
What was that one with the Batman? The Lego movie with the Batman. What was that called? Lego Batman? No.
There's something more to it.
No, I think it was Dark Lego Night Batman. Dark Lego. Something. All right, also coming out, The Prodigy stars Taylor Schilling. We talked about her a little bit ago from Orange is the New Black. As a mother concerned about her young son's disturbing behavior and thinks something supernatural might be affecting him. Or maybe he's just a dick. It happens.
Well, side note, we didn't talk about Taylor Schilling. We just talked about Orange is the New Black.
Well, we mentioned her.
No, we didn't.
We mentioned Orange is the New Black, which is the same thing as saying Taylor Schilling.
To me, it's the same thing. What else we got? I don't want to talk to you people anymore. By the way, skip this one. Go see Family that she's got coming out later this year, because that movie is great.
Oh, you did rave about that one like
that
a year ago.
It is great. And it's finally coming out, yeah.
What Men Want is also coming out. A woman is boxed out by the male sports agent in her profession, but gains an unexpected edge over them when she develops the ability to hear men's thoughts. I can't tell if this is a good or a bad thing, but I think it would be great. Taraji P. Henson and Tracy Morgan star in this.
You know what worries me about this movie?
That it's going to be great and tell us all the insight and the secrets to men so we can finally understand them.
What's to understand? Sex, food, cars. Done. Every guy you ever met.
You guys can't decide if you like somebody or you don't like somebody.
If we have sex with them, if they feed us, or they drive us in a pretty car, we like them. Right, John? That's pretty close. I mean,
it's pretty close. Also, if the girl has to ask, do you like me? The answer is no.
That's a great point.
That's sad but true.
Yeah.
That's sad but true. So if you're wondering if that guy really has something, you know, I wonder if he likes me. He's looking at you from
and
across.
And it's almost Valentine's Day. If he hasn't asked you.
If he's
usually
asking,
pretty easy to tell when a guy likes you. He's usually like, hi, hi, you're pretty.
And if he's asking about your friend, he's really not trying to find a way to talk to you. He's just asking about your friend.
Right.
My wife learns this from the hard way because, you know, her friend's pretty cute. I don't know where I was going with that.
Ba-dum-ba-ba. Divorce court.
Oh. We can add that to the whole court.
We haven't done the whole court in a long time. There's probably a reason for that. The reason why this makes me nervous, I really love the What Women Want with Mel Gibson, and this is obviously a spinoff mm-hmm. of that. The trailers, I love Taraji P. Henson. Everybody knows I love Taraji P. Henson. Love her. Love her. I would go to Hollywood right now. If she called me, I'd leave everything and just go hang out with Taraji P. Henson. And
is it like a sexual thing, or you just think she's like one of the coolest chicks ever?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Grounds covered.
Covers whatever you got. Yes, that's the answer. So I do think she's a really talented actress. It's amazing to me how many different kinds of roles she plays. And mm-hmm. she does. I mean, go watch Hidden Figures and then watch, was it Proud Mary? Even though the movie's not great, she's trying, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, she's just a really talented actress. And then watch Empire, where she's like bonkers off her rocker. She's a great actress. And also the other stuff you said. But
super hot.
I watched the trailer, and the trailer, it's all guys thinking stuff that I don't know guys that think that. It's just...
Oh, man. False advertisement.
It looks like this is what guys think when written by a woman.
Is it written by a woman?
I don't know, but it came across that way to me because I'm like, you knew that dust you just walked through? That was my fart. I don't... Guys don't think stupid stuff like that. I'm sorry. I just...
What do guys think all day?
Okay, John does. maybe I'm thinking too highly of my species. Maybe my gender. Maybe we're actually pretty callous. I don't know. That's not how
Let's bring the question to John, since he seems
toast.
To represent.
Am I having a stroke? Oh no, I have toast in my pocket.
That's actually something John would say.
Okay, that one I have thought. So I get that one. That's about the only one that I agree with out of all of them. So I'm hoping that they just watered them down for the trailer, because I know it's rated R, so I'm hoping you go see the movie and it's a lot raunchier and honest. I would love to see this in like an honest form, because I didn't think the Mel Gibson one was very honest either.
I would like it to be honest too, unlike the male speech. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. It's a joke. Just a joke.
Oh my God.
Unlike the what?
Unlike the male gender, like the species.
Oh,
then,
yeah, we got honest, bitter now.
No,
like
I was
bitter.
Just kidding.
No, I'm sorry.
Just making a joke.
If they're not telling you the truth, then they don't really like you.
And then we have Cold Pursuit. A snowplow driver has a certain set of skills and seeks revenge against the drug dealers that he thinks killed his son. Based on the 2014 Norwegian film, An Order of Disappearance, directed by Hans-Peter Moland and written by Frank Baldwin and stars Liam... My heart goes out to you, Neeson and Emmy Ross.
Wait, so they said in the description he has a particular set of skills?
No.
He wrote that.
Oh, that was good. Nice job. That made
really?
Me laugh.
Because nobody has thought of that one in the last 10 years.
I laughed.
You know what, John? Look, you got a winner. Good for you. So is it okay to see this movie right now? I don't know. If
I don't
you're
know either.
Unfamiliar, I guess we should tell people.
Me.
Because Amanda didn't know.
I only know the headline.
Yeah, don't just read the headline. Go read the full interview.
I know there's more to it. I just haven't.
You can
had a
actually
chance.
Go listen to the full interview someplace.
Oh, really?
It's a lot more uncomfortable to listen to. I will acknowledge
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
It is. But basically, Liam Neeson was given an interview where he shared a story about how a friend of his was raped several decades ago. And he asked if she knew him. She said no. He said, what race were they? She told him it was a black man. And he was so angry that he went out for a couple nights looking for just anyone to exact vengeance on. And he goes on to say, well, that's, of course, where most of the articles stop, because they want to hear this. And he goes on to say how horrible he felt about that, how he realized that was a terrible thing to be thinking, and kind of how he grew from it. John, am I missing something? Please tell me if I'm missing anything.
No, you're not missing anything. That's essentially what his target in telling the story was explaining how people can change and grow, and how much shame he felt from that whole experience. And that's what he went on to talk about. I'm a little disappointed that the internet is taking it and running with it with like whatever headline that they just read or anything else like that. And instead of actually listening to the words he's saying, because what he's trying to do is express how he was at one point in his life one person, and he's ashamed of that at this point of his life.
How did this even come up in an interview?
You know what? It's actually kind of interesting, because it probably shouldn't have. I really believe, based on what I saw, and I'm just basing it, like, this is just my opinion, okay? I believe he was taking the opportunity because he's so far in his career and he doesn't have to worry so much about his... I think he was trying to reach people in some way. And say, maybe you felt that way before, but you know, or maybe other people have felt that way before, but they can change. Give them a chance to, you know,
you don't, can be better.
Yeah, you can be better. I don't know. I feel like it was a teachable moment, and I think he said that in an interview at some point after that. But I think he was trying to create a teachable moment, and it became scandal, like everything does. If you read all of it, it doesn't come across as uncomfortable as people are.
But listening to it was uncomfortable?
It's hard to listen to because of the content, what he's talking about. When you put it in context of it was decades ago, and now he's, you know, he's trying to let other people know that he realized how shameful he should have felt for it, and he realized he was wrong, and, you know, even at that time, not today, like he realized he was wrong at that time. And he's just sharing it so people understand
that
plight, I guess.
Basically, his friend told him that she was raped by a black man, and he kind of became racist because of that.
Well, he became obsessed with, he wanted to just lash out at, all he had to go on was the fact that he was a black man. He wanted to lash out at a black man. He was hoping any black man would come at him.
Did he do anything?
No.
So this was just in his head?
He was explaining how he felt at the time.
And he's apologized for it and is regretful and is saying he's changed. I guess I don't understand what
what's the internet.
Hoopla
is. I mean, it's
good for him to acknowledge. I mean, he's acknowledging this is not like a positive mindset that I should have had. And this is, I've grown from it. I'm not the same man. So it's just weird that, it's the internet, but.
I mean, people like outrage. Outrage gets clicks and. That's fine.
And that's, imagine how uncomfortable that is for him, too.
And if it happened today, I would say, my God, you should be outraged. But I don't know. He didn't have to tell the story. And I think if you look into it, he really is trying to say how he was trying to illustrate a point in time in his life where he grew. Mm-hmm. And he also talked about, what was it, the Troubles, which is like an Irish, I don't really know much about that, but it was like a religious conflict at the time where he grew up, and that kind of, like, he was just a very angry young man, and he was trying to illustrate, I think, some of the points. I mean, it's not gonna do the movie any good. I don't think it's gonna sell the movie.
Emmy's well. Like, did I really leave Shameless for this drama to come out of my first feature?
Emmy, you're awesome.
Yeah,
that's too bad. All right, well, that took things to a down point. Well, we brought it up, we talked about it, there's not much more to say, but you know what else is coming out? Wait, does anybody want to see the actual movie?
Cold Pursuit.
Yeah,
I'll watch it.
I keep reading that it's kind of a comedy. A dark comedy. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I don't want to watch it. I don't get that from the trailer at all.
I haven't either. It looked like it's just making fun of all of Liam Neeson's previous movies. And amping them up a little bit. But I keep reading reviews and saying comedy.
Are they saying it's good comedy?
I can't say that. I just said it was comedy.
Okay.
Dark comedy.
That it's trying to be dark comedy.
No, it said it was a dark comedy. Okay. You know what? Never mind.
I'm just trying to get to I'm trying to see if it's successful in its laughter.
Well, we'll find out. All right. The Man Who Killed Hitler and the Bigfoot. Sam Elliott stars as a legendary American war veteran who was rumored to have killed Hitler and is recruited to hunt a mythical creature. I just assume John's already in the theater. I'm watching it on video on demand right now.
Yeah.
That's like your sweet spot. It's like made up and it's got Bigfoot. I'm in.
Well, also on video on demand, a violent man, Thomas Q. Jones, is a struggling mixed martial arts fighter who finds himself in a fight for his life after his one night stand is found dead in her home. This is the same guy who was in Straight Outta Compton and Luke Cage, but I don't know what his character was because I didn't watch Luke Cage. So.
He wasn't Luke Cage.
Well, I know he wasn't Luke Cage, but he was in there, so I don't know what his character is, though.
Not Luke Cage.
Okay.
That was his actual name.
Not Luke Cage.
He's walking down the street in Harlem, and he's like, hey, what's up, Not Luke Cage? Man, I hate that name.
That name sucks. Why couldn't I be Luke Cage?
Everybody wants to be Luke Cage. Luke Cage is pretty cool. All right, so of all of those, what is your pick of the week, Amanda?
What Men Want.
John?
Lego Movie 2, I think.
Mine's going to be What Men Want.
Yeah. He wants to know what men want, too.
I've been wanting to know my whole life. Because apparently I've got them all wrong. I thought they were a lot classier than John's telling me they are.
So. Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, we're not that classy. I don't think you've been on the internet recently.
Stop giving yourself so much credit.
You sound a little drunk.
Me?
Yeah, you're a little... Stop giving yourself so much credit.
I swear I'm not drunk.
It's like she's a superhero or a supervillain, and she just wants to put the emphasis on the wrong word.
Yeah, something like that. All right, let's go to our From the Outside In topic this week, which is... it's TV spinoffs that we need. So there is so much content, and a lot of it is based on brands we know and love or retooled nostalgic packages. So this week, we're just discussing spinoffs that we'd like to see. But first, I remember back in the day, it was rare to have a spinoff because you had Mork and Mindy, The Simpsons are prime examples, Facts of Life, Frasier. But nowadays, they are pretty much everywhere. I think you're legally required to have them if you're on CBS. I mean, all the NCIS and CSIs and all the other letters that they've got. NBC has all the Dick Wolf shows. And then there's properties like Cobra Kai and the upcoming L Word. Properties are kind of being shaken up in new ways. So what spinoffs are you in particular fond of?
The ones that spring to mind the most for me are the ones like Torchwood. I don't know if you've seen. Have you ever seen Torchwood?
I have not. Isn't that like is that a Doctor Who spinoff?
It is a Doctor Who spinoff. But what it was basically the let's tell a more adult story that's in the Doctor Who universe. And they use John Barrowman's character, Captain Jack, who is this pansexual space pirate con man, and turn him into a secret agent kind of thing on Earth that deals with aliens. And it's a fun show. I really enjoyed it. Some of the characters have some interesting lines to it. And just the fact that you're sort of dealing in the same universe as Doctor Who, but it's naughtier, was really interesting.
Was that raunchy?
I wouldn't say raunchy, but naughty.
All right. So pants on.
I've never even heard of it.
Nope. Pants weren't on.
That sounds raunchier than there's no pants on. Well, I think you'd only hear of it if you were a Doctor Who fan.
That's
true. Yeah.
I don't know Jack much about the awesome. Blue Box.
I'm sure. John Barrowman's. Is it Barrowman or Barrowman? Barryman.
I think it's Barrowman.
Barrowman. Yeah. He's fun to watch. Like at conventions and stuff, I've seen him at stuff, and he seems to love fans. He loves that attention. He loves it.
Yeah. He lives for it.
There's a fan pic I saw of him where basically it's a meme, of course, where it says, you know, Avril Lavigne, she charges you $400. You can stand in a room with her, but you can't touch her and you can't be within a certain space. And then it says, and then there's John Barrowman, and it's a picture of him with four fans grabbing his ass.
Yep.
Good for him.
It's pretty amazing. All right. So I've got Benson. That's one of my favorite spinoffs.
Ooh, yeah.
Amanda, you're probably too young, but John, you know Benson, where you had Robert Gilliam. He was an absolute delight. It was a spinoff of Soap, I think it was, the Billy Crystal show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically Benson's lieutenant governor, and it's just him in the governor's mansion, and the governor's an idiot. So it's him.
Well, he starts off as a butler, doesn't he?
Yeah, he starts off as a butler, and he works up to, I think it was lieutenant governor he got to.
Yeah.
As it went. Mm-hmm. But he's he's a charming, funny man, and I loved that show to death because he would just you learn life lessons without being bored to death. And that's what I need in my TV shows. If you're gonna do a sitcom, I need to get something out of it. Those were the days, the happy days.
You guys sound so old. So I have two.
That's fair.
First one.
Get off my lawn.
I have to mention. Angel, spinoff of Buffy.
It's great. It's on my list, yeah.
It's a much darker version of the story from Buffy, but it's also got a little bit less drama.
I would argue a better story.
Let's backtrack here.
I said I would argue.
Well, you're wrong. Okay. But David Boreanaz really shined his light in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the first couple seasons of Angel were great, but when they turned into a law firm, that's when they started losing me.
They weren't as strong there. The ending was great, though. I loved the
ending was great.
Let's go to work.
So we can all concur that Angel is by far one of the best spinoffs that has happened.
I concur.
It's a pretty good one.
Now, how about Daria?
I didn't like Daria.
What?
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Oh, my gosh. Spinoff from Beavis and Butthead. I
almost got in trouble there.
Loved Beavis and Butthead. Apparently, I still have two of my own.
Yeah, I like that show. That show was great.
But Daria was really, she was the chick version. That was so good. Okay, shh. This is just going to be a whole episode of you two making the noise.
Knock it off, bunghole.
Oh, bunghole.
I am Cornelia.
My brother still does that, and he's going to be 30 years old this year.
All right, diarrhea, whatever it was.
Yeah. Daria. She's really spunky, and she was intelligent, but she didn't take people's shit, and I just loved her character so much. Everything about it. It was good for younger girls to have something like that to make them feel like, yeah.
She always kind of reminded me of Janine Garofalo as a cartoon character.
Yeah, people liked Janine Garofalo back when this was popular, remember?
I did too. I just didn't. The show, I don't know. I mean, I probably shouldn't have liked Beavis and Butt as much as I did either, but.
Jokes were definitely different.
Yeah.
Like the the characters were.
Another one I have, the Jeffersons. I love the Jeffersons. I just absolutely, because it's a spinoff of All in the Family, which is one of my all-time favorite comedies, and this kind of took the comedy and it was just similar but different, and it was always fun to watch. George Jefferson is one of the funniest characters on television of all time, my opinion. He's not Dan Fielding, but he's close.
He's pretty close. You know, one that I, as far as like the Dick Wolf world of things go, my favorite of the Law and Order is Criminal Intent. There's a couple of reasons why I like it. Like, I think Vincent D'Onofrio is amazing in that show. But at the same time, like, they play with mental health in a certain way where if you change the narrative in your head to what Criminal Intent is, it's actually like a mental patient's fever dream where he thinks he's a cop.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The way that he always gets in people, he's like Sherlock Holmes, but psychologically.
Yeah. You know, all those people could be fake, especially like the season where Jamie Sheridan's wearing an eye patch. He was the captain of that thing where he's wearing an eye patch. I can totally see that being like a doctor trying to unsettle a patient kind of thing.
I don't remember Captain Plissken.
SVU was always my favorite.
Dun dun.
It's a good one.
Until Stabler left. Once Stabler left, it's like, I need a little bit of crazy in my Law and Order, because he was just enough off kilter. And then he went to Happy, and I just always pretend that was what happened to Stabler.
It was a little hard. Actually, I like to pretend. Yeah, exactly. Happy was what happened to Stabler when he left.
Can I ask you guys, do you guys like when TV shows specifically spin off your favorite characters? Because I kind of wonder, doesn't it take away from your favorite show when they actually take the characters out of the show and put them in their own show? Does that bother you guys? Because it takes them out of the world. Like, you're talking about Angel. They took Angel out of Buffy. Did that bother you?
No, but Angel needed to get out of Buffy. Like the whole relationship between Buffy and Angel was taking that show down.
It was just exhausting. It had been so long that we were trying to recreate this relationship that was doomed anyway and was toxic and was unhealthy. And there was no way that Buffy was going to grow as a character if Angel was still around, and neither was he. And we got to see them both become better people when they were away from each other and they were able to focus on their own identities. So as much as I loved watching their relationship be so dysfunctional and somehow idolized them as a couple because I just loved the drama of it.
Explains a lot.
It was relieving to see them apart because I was like, this is not good for anybody. And it's also just going to explode at some point. We've gone through this too many times.
See, I've had Mandy, like I said, you're younger. You probably won't remember this, but Cheers had...
I remember Cheers.
Frasier Crane, you know, Frasier Crane, he spun off into his own show.
Yeah, I didn't like the show.
Well, I did like the show, but he was, to me, a perfect counterbalance to Sam, especially when Diane left the show. He was a perfect counterbalance to Diane. Kelsey Grammer is a very talented actor, and he did wonders with that role. I mean, he stayed on TV for like 80 years or something. Every episode of Cheers he's in, he made better, in my opinion.
He had a much better chemistry on that show than anybody, you know, with everybody.
Yeah, and he had a fully realized character where you had George is just, hey, George, or whatever. I mean, not George.
Norm!
Norm, thank you. George Wendt. You know, all he did was drink beer. I mean, that was his character, and he didn't want to go home. Which, you know, he's basically every married guy in Boston. I got it. But Frasier was a fully realized character. He developed, he grew, he had periods of ups and downs. I mean, he was a real character. Just
as a writer, you have to be smart about who you're leaving in the show and who you're taking out, who you're going to replace them with. But in something like Buffy and Angel, it was good for both of those characters to be separated. It made sense. So it guess it depends on what your motivations are. Are you trying to spin this off just so you can create an additional universe? Like, the Vampire Diaries created spinoff with the originals, but I don't really think that was entirely necessary, although it did give it a different vibe, I guess. It was more adult. And so some of those decisions can be, they can make sense. And if they're done right, if they're thoughtfully written out, then I think it's beneficial. But if it's just something where they're like, I don't want my universe to end, so I'm going to spin it off so I still have some sort of continuation of my legacy, then I think that's where it starts to decline on the value of entertainment. Hmm. Lots of words.
Yeah. John's like,
Yeah, those are a lot of words, and I'm trying to process them all, but I would say that I agree.
I'm going to repeat that like over and over again.
That I agreed with you on something?
Uh-huh.
Nobody would believe it.
He's going to edit this out.
Actually, my ultimate favorite show that I had growing up, but in the last few years that was a spinoff was from the Stargate universe, which so you had Stargate SG-1 and then you had Stargate Atlantis. And then finally they had Stargate Universe, which is so you get basically everyone from the same Stargate setup, but it's a whole new crew, a whole new thing. And they change up how they're doing their storytelling, that instead of them being in a central location, you have the crew trapped on a ship that's an ancient ship, and it's going through a completely different galaxy, and there's just no way to get home. So it's kind of like Lost in the sense of you got people who are stranded someplace with no way home, and they don't know, they have to figure out what's going on around them. But also they changed the storytelling entirely on how the SG universe did everything, because instead of it being kind of episodic or even having like a story that carried through, it was one solid story. And the way they told that story was by focusing primarily on characters. And it was just so engaging and so involving. And I loved that. And it was actually what broke the camel's back for me with Sci-Fi and why I decided to stop doing most things with Sci-Fi.
I was never a big fan of that universe.
Which universe?
Stargate, talking about Stargate.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically like the Law and Order version of Stargate, right? I mean, you could just throw in a...
No.
Well, it's just same world, different show.
Oh, wait. I guess you're right. Yeah. Same world, different show. So, yeah.
Throw a dun-dun in there and it's the same damn thing.
Right.
Dun-dun. Well, let's make this simple. So, we each get 3 passes at a new TV show. It's a spinoff, but you can spin it off from anything into a TV form. Okay?
Yeah.
The only rule is you can't do anything that's already been done. Unless it didn't go to series. If it was just a pilot, we can hear it out. All right, let's go Amanda, Aaron, John. Amanda, Aaron, John. So Amanda, you go first.
Well, my first one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, made into a TV show. Each episode is a new mission for Miles and his interdimensional counterparts. And I think it would be good to have something this beautiful and engaging and entertaining as a cartoon for people, for kids, like a Saturday morning cartoon, and to bring Spider-Man into kids' lives again.
All right, that's good. I'm sure they probably will be doing that because Sony likes cash. So. They like money. I want a Tej and Roman TV series with that's Ludacris and Tyrese's characters from the Fast and Furious series. And Natalie Emmanuel's Ramsey, I want her in there as a third wheel. So Tej is a hacker, as is Ramsey. Though she also functions as kind of like the front for their company. And Roman is a semi-moronic action hero. That's what he does. And they all 3 pair up to help people in need and get some payback. It's like the A-Team, but with the secondary characters. So I'm calling this series the B-Team.
That's actually a neat idea.
That'd be fun.
So my first one is a little bit of cheat because it's this in the supernatural world, as in the universe in which Supernatural lives. They actually tried to launch this as its own series, but for whatever reason, CW decided another vampire moron story was more important. But Wayward Sisters, which is a spinoff of an idea of a spinoff of Supernatural, where you take Sheriff Jody Mills, and she is actually raising a group of young late teens, early 20s, hunters that are all girls. So and the girls all come from different episodes of the shows that have showed up. One of them is Alex, who was a girl that was being used by vampires to lure in victims. The other one's Claire. Her father is actually the guy who gave up his life to so that Castiel can be out in the world. And then finally you got Patience, who's like the super powerful psychic who her grandmother worked with the guy. So they're carrying on the family business, saving people, hunting things. And it was something that I think we really needed as far as a nice spinoff for Supernatural.
I don't know who any of those characters are because I don't watch Supernatural.
You just really want this universe to last for eternity.
He wants the CW network to be Supernatural.
For as far as what they have in the way of what's popular, it's like everything DC, everything vampires, and then Supernatural is just hanging around being awesome without any other sort of backing.
Is it really still awesome at 15 years old?
Apparently.
It's still going.
I mean, CW just renews everything. I really don't think anything gets canceled anymore.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't watch it. I have no idea. I don't have an opinion. All right, Amanda, what's your second one?
All right, now I'm going to say the name, and then I want you guys to just breathe and let me talk.
Okay.
Veronica Mars spinoff.
Shocked!
Breathe, because I don't mention them that much. Mm. Mac, who is
we literally mention it every week at the end of
no,
the show.
No, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Well, Veronica's Marshmallows. That's different.
We told you you weren't allowed to say Brooklyn Nine-Nine anymore.
I was just trying to tell you that, like, I overuse that.
At the end of the show, we say you can hear Amanda talk about Veronica Mars on Veronica's Marshmallows. So technically,
you say you can just hear Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and smirk.
I'm just saying we say it
every
episode.
Maybe they don't know it's Veronica Mars. Anyway, so Mac, who is the nerdy IT chick, I want her to get her own spinoff because she's like the girl with the dark hair and the blue streak in her hair, and she knows computers and she's awesome.
Well, obviously, her name's Mac.
Actually, that's her last name is Mackenzie.
I didn't care.
Okay. Anyway, and I want a spinoff with Sean William Scott, since he's probably going to be available soon anyway.
Wow.
They work for the FBI, and each season is an 8 to 10 episode show hunting down one criminal or case. But the two are working together. So he's like the actual on the field FBI agent, and she's the nerdy chick who's working for the FBI on all of the computer tech.
Why can't she just be a nerdy person?
Because I want her to continue with her hacking skills.
Just kidding.
Oh, I get it. The thing. I get it.
That sounds like a good idea. What are you going to call it?
I don't know.
Max Mars?
No. And Kristen Bell wouldn't be associated with it. I mean, I guess if she wanted a cameo, she could come on. I wouldn't be opposed. But it would be Max's show. Like, I really loved her character, and I think she deserved.
I'd watch that.
She's the girl who played Deb in Napoleon Dynamite as well.
Yeah,
Tina Margarino.
I hate that movie.
Okay.
So well. I like Mac. Just
leave
right
it there. Stop selling.
All right. My second one is Inglourious Basterds. I want all the characters from the original movie except Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Except Brad Pitt. Brought to the small screen, and we watch as they take out Nazis. Each 10-episode season would be building to a big event, and what's in the history books would be open to reinvention. That's really what I would focus on. It would be like a fun World War II show where you're seeing these guys just kill some Nazis. But also, it doesn't matter what the history book says, because they're just like in the movie, it's open to reinvention. I like that idea.
So my second one comes from Firefly / Serenity. So we take the agent, and this is post in the movie Serenity, the agent portrayed by Chiwetel Ejiofor. I want to see something kind of like a Shogun or a Kung Fu kind of thing, where he's out on the world or the worlds traveling around trying to figure out what he's going to do now with who he is. Along the way, he ends up accidentally being put in these positions where he has to help people.
I'd watch that.
My last one, I think I can sell Aaron on this.
Okay.
It's a Bad Boys.
Hopefully you can sell on more people than just me. One viewer doesn't really do great.
No, but you can spread the word. People listen to you.
Okay, Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. Because who doesn't like a good buddy cop show, right? As if we don't have enough of them.
Okay.
The Boys come back for a limited series that intertwines with the Breaking Bad universe. Because the movies are all about them trying to run down drug cartels. Well, what if they just so happened to run in to the drug people and tried to hunt them down from Breaking Bad?
I think Walter White would accidentally kill them.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Probably, but wouldn't it be fun to see that intertwine? I think it would
be. I mean, I think I've gotten all of Breaking Bad's story that I could want, but
no.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe Gus Fring.
Or like intertwine that with the Better Call Saul. I haven't seen the show though, so I didn't want to use that. But
sure.
Possibly.
Sure. That's not really. Here's the thing. That's a different world, because Better Call Saul and that's...
I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
Breaking Bad, they're very serious shows. Bad Boys is about saying the F-bomb, scaring the shit out of Reggie, and blowing shit up, and then throwing a few bodies in them. I don't think those worlds combine to make something...
I think they could.
I mean, I would watch it, but I'm just saying it's very important to me that Reggie is scared shitless. I want them to wave guns around. I want them to make this grown man pee himself. That's really what's important.
Okay, fine. We'll make it happen.
Now, I would watch a Reggie series where every week they just torture that kid, and I'd watch that.
Bye, John.
All right, my last one. You ready? John, come back. Come back.
I'm back.
All right, so you want to watch that Reggie show too, don't you?
I do. I just
Damn,
love how you
stole my spinoff.
He jumped to Reggie.
Reggie is so important. All right, so my last one. I want to spin off a Lethal Weapon called Lethal Weapons. All right? It's going to star Sean William Scott and Clayne Crawford. Murtaugh, hear me out. Murtaugh is brutally killed in the line of duty.
Brutally.
So brutal. I want him to get run over with a car a couple times. Just brutal. And it forces Riggs to come out of witness protection, which is where he's been. He faked his death so he can care for Mrs. Murtaugh and family, because Murtaugh's dead. He partners with Cole to take out the cartel that kills Roger. So they're no longer cops. They are working for an underground government agency that, after they disband the cartel in season one, utilizes their talents for other criminal organizations around the globe. You could also call them the C-Team.
Oh, my God.
They blow up cartels.
I don't like that.
Okay, Lethal Weapons. I'm going with that.
All right, so my final one, I wanted to reach into the world of Sherlock, and one of my favorite characters from the Sherlock series is Irene Adler, as portrayed by Laura Pulvers. And so if you watch the show, you know that she is in hiding. Sherlock has put her in hiding, that sort of thing. So, and I think she's just an interesting character in general, because she is like the one character that can really, I haven't watched season three yet or four yet, but she's one character really sets off and puts Sherlock into a tither or something, because he has a bit of a well-deserved crush on her. So if you remember who she is, she blackmails people. She gets things done that way, and that's who she is. I want to see her in hiding, but she ends up having to do things where she starts getting people who are high up in companies and puts them in her pocket, and government officials, and puts them in her pocket, and she starts using them against each other to help the help people out.
Okay, I would watch it. None of these are bad shows.
Except for my idea of Bad Boys that you completely took and revamped.
No, I just made it better. See, the collaboration is what really breeds inspiration. Uh-huh. That's right. How creativity works. Yeah.
Nah.
You can't create in a vacuum.
You can't. One person does not create all great things. It's just not how it works.
Tell that to Stan Lee.
You know what? He collaborated with wonderful artists and wonderful writers, and that's how he came
to... But he still had his idea, and he was like, this is
my
idea.
Other people made it better. That's what happened. All right? So... let's go to listener comments. What do we got? Any great ideas from listeners? John, you can go first. You got any?
Leslie Plunkett comes up with, maybe a Mad Men spinoff with the Draper kids growing up in the 70s and 80s. I would watch the hell out of that show.
You would watch anything that had Mad Men or John Hamm.
That's not true.
I didn't like Mad Men. Am I the only one?
I've only seen like three episodes.
I had a hard time.
I really enjoyed Mad Men, but I will admit, it's just sometimes it felt like a slog to get through.
Yep, that's about how I felt. What else do you have, John?
Following that up, we have Troy Heinrichs. We don't know who that is, but he talks about young Dr. Cox. How did that man...
such a child.
I almost laughed at it, too. It's okay.
Such a child.
It's not why I laugh, but okay. I will own it up. How did the man that gave JD and Turk and Barbie such a hard time becoming the jackass cool doctor that he is today? I think that'd be a lot of fun and really worth watching. The only problem is that you wouldn't be able to have, I think it's Ted McGinley continue to play him that young. But
Ted
McGinley?
Are you kidding me? Is that Scrubs, right? Scrubs?
Yeah, Scrubs.
It's John C. McGinley.
It's a McGinley. It's one of those McGinleys.
It's definitely not Ted. Jesus.
And finally, Barbara Harris comes in with, I really enjoy Jackie and Remy spinoff from the House of Cards. Maybe how the two schemers survive in suburbia or something. I thought that was a pretty fun and interesting idea.
That would be fun. And every once in a while, they could play a little game where they would have pictures of Kevin Spacey in the background. Just for fun.
Just for funsies?
Like as their dartboard or something?
No, just like to be walking by. Just random. Little Easter egg. Who's that? Nobody. Just keep walking.
Kyle Nolan says, The Bad Place, the parallel story of what's going on with Sean and the demons, maybe not a whole series right away, but at least a backdoor pilot. I do like that idea. Paula Francine says, Gilmore Girls, follow Rory on her decisions from the most recent series, bring back the quick banter, sarcasm, and laughs as she goes through dealing with the repercussions of some bad decisions, or of some decisions, I guess they don't have to be bad, she made, and see who she chooses in the end, but have to have the quirky townspeople too. And then Ty Nelson, I would like to see a solo spinoff that focuses on Beckett and his crew before the events of the movie. I love that whole crew and felt they were mostly wasted in the movie.
No, that movie was just wasted.
Wrong.
You like that movie? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you're
I did.
A fan. That's too bad.
It wasn't like the best.
I like the idea, though. I think seeing this entire movie about Beckett and his crew would be really great.
I would much rather have watched that. It sounds like Firefly.
Or just Thandie Newton.
Tandy.
Oh, good. You remember.
Yeah.
He was testing you.
Sure. Yeah, that's what that was. That was a test. I can't speak to the Gilmore Girls because I still haven't watched that show and Good Place. Would it be funnier if it was a bad place?
You haven't finished season one.
I finished three episodes. I'm done. I'll never watch it again. Good Place is the bad place. I don't care.
Well, I'm just saying that your joke doesn't really work if...
Oh, if I watched it, then I would understand. This would make more sense.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't need to watch a whole show just to get that joke. I'll take it.
No, I'm saying your joke doesn't make
sense. You know what? It works for me.
Because you don't understand the universe.
Nope, I sure don't. All right, so Craig Schermerhorn, this is the last three. He says, Star Trek, I would love a prequel type series similar to what Gotham has done around the world as it developed before Batman, but completely from the perspective of the Klingons, where they are not the bad guys. They are simply a warrior culture dealing with their evolution and the way they view this emerging adversary in what would become the United Federation of Planets.
Interesting.
That sounds like an awesome idea. Then he had 400 other words that I'm not going to read. I don't know what any of that said, but this was a great idea.
Send the pilot.
Write it up, man. That's a great idea. Like, seriously, that's a Star Trek show I would watch, and I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
Ditto.
Tori Melchin. What? You're so weird right now.
I said ditto.
Hey, you just sound so drunk this whole episode.
I'm not drunk.
Tori Melchin, The Blacklist, Red and Dembe. Don't care what it is about. And we occasionally see Red's other weirdos that work for him. I would watch a spinoff with just Red and Dembe. Why not? Were they actually just navigating the criminal world? I think that would probably be a lot more fun.
AP.
Yeah.
You complain enough about The Blacklist now.
No, I'm just tired of watching and having to talk about it every week. I love watching the show.
You know 100% if there was a spinoff, Troy is going to pay you a sign-on bonus to make you do another podcast.
I don't think Troy would.
On the spinoff.
I think Troy would be like, let's just watch this together.
No.
And not do a podcast. All right, and Ivy West, a spinoff of the Dick Wolf universe that's just random generator of current show ideas. I mean, that's how we got FBI Most Wanted, right? I kind of think that's true. They're all pretty much the same at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lottery machine.
All right, we're closing this baby up. Any recent film or TV recommendations not previously talked about? Anything? I'm going to bring up Miss Bala. Not Baller.
Yeah.
Bala. That's a very important distinction. But it's Gina Rodriguez, who is it's a remake of a Spanish film. She gets caught kind of in a cartel's crossfire. And then ends up going up against, was it DEA? And it just, she gets in the middle of a lot of things, trying to recover her friend who's been kidnapped by the cartel during a nightclub incident. And it just follows her as she tries to get out of her situation, which her situation just gets more and more dire. I was pleasantly surprised because it looks very cliche. The trailer will tell you the whole movie for the most part. But it's not an action movie, and I really kind of thought it would be more of an action movie. There's not any action until probably the last 20 minutes. It's very much a thriller. It's not a slow burn, though. It keeps moving. It moves at a good click. Very little plotting. I think it's very lean. I really enjoyed it. It's probably already going to be out of theaters by the time you hear this, but it's going to be a fun rental. That's a good movie to rent.
Gina Rodriguez did do great. Well, I shouldn't say great. She did good.
She impressed me. I don't even know anything about it. I haven't seen, was it Jane the Virgin? I think it's her show. I've never watched it, but watching this made me a fan of her. She's a very good actress.
One thing that I think is weird is in the trailer, she looks so much more like a badass, like consistently pulling action moves, and it's literally like 5 minutes. They show her of like 5 minutes in the action scene, and that's about it.
Well, it makes the trailer cooler.
It does.
That's what they're going for. Cool trailer. That's what I've got.
It got people in the theater. Some people. A few people in the theaters.
All right. Well, you can comment on this episode in our Facebook group, on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can subscribe as well, whatever podcast app you listen to. Please leave a review if you enjoy the show. You can find... Yeah, don't leave one if you don't. We don't want those. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws, Amanda on Smirk, and Veronica's Marshmallows, and me and my other podcast, Smirk and the Blacklist Exposed. Remember, guys, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.
Why does it sound like you're peeing into a canteen? And now you're putting the cap on your piss. Oh, you're drinking your piss.
Did you filter it first?
A little bit. It is actually like diluted apple cider vinegar.
Ew.
Ew. I mean, I know it's supposed to be good for you, but gross, man.
It is really good for
you. I don't
think
you're supposed to drink apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, you are.
Are you?
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm.
If you do, you're only supposed to do like 2 teaspoons a day or something.
No, you can do more. There's no such thing as too much unless your body starts like dissolving from it. And I'm not there yet.
Yet.
And actually, you can have two tablespoons before each meal diluted in water. And it's supposed to help. It's supposed to help with your digestion and help with making sure you don't overeat. And it's supposed to help clean out your liver. It's actually really good for your joints and your bones and all that other stuff.
Yeah, but doesn't it taste nasty?
Well, it would normally if you weren't actually raised on it as iced tea.
Gross.
I like iced tea. He's a hustler. Word, he pulls the trigger long. Grip my teeth, sprayed it everywhere, let's go. Got my block, sewn up my dope spots. Last thing I sweat, I suck up on cup.
My grandfather used to serve, his idea of iced tea was apple cider vinegar, honey to taste, and then hot water, and then he would chill it.
Gross.
It was delicious.
Iced tea, the rapper, is quite chill as well. Just letting you know.
He is pretty chill.
Mm-hmm. He's also a hustler. Word to pull the trigger long. Grip. No, nobody. All right, well. All right, you guys ready?
I've been ready.
Good.
I'm bored ready. Let's do this shit.
That's basically all of John's energy that he has for the entire week. Right there. Blown.
Right there. No more. Actually, guys have their own version of a PMS kind of thing go on, too. Look, my chest gets sore, and I get bloated, and my pants don't feel right, and I cry at telephone book commercials. I mean, it happens. You're disgusting.
You just talked about burping up 2 cups of broccoli. Ew. That can't feel good.
Burping and farting are just 2 things I don't find funny. I try not to. I try to. I really do. I just don't.
So you don't think the farting troll doll in Universal Studios Orlando is hysterical?
No, I don't.
I don't think it's funny either, but...
Farting just doesn't do anything for me, man. People are like, oh boy, hoo, hoo, hoo. And I'm just like, okay, people do it. That's cool.
So no dick and fart jokes, huh?
I'm not
dick
big
jokes
on them.
Are fine.
No, I'm not big on either one, really.
I like dick jokes. Nope. You're not big on them.